Good morning, everyone. It is the Studio W Sports Page brought to you by J&J Sports Apparel. I am your host, your man Mill, and riding shotgun as always. I got my partners, my co-host to my right, my immediate right. I got my dad, the main man, the CEO, Mr. WB. To my left, I got my ride or die, Mr. Kevin Harris, in the background today. You can't see him. But he's. He's right here with me always, my shotgun, Mr. Romar Smith. We got special guests, got a couple special guests joining us. Mr. Marcus Garrett Jr., how you doing, brother? And former NFL defense on Denver Bronco, Mr. Sammy Winder. Gentlemen. I was in.
All right.
Thank you for joining us this morning. Dad, how you
doing? Oh, I'm doing great. I'm excited about this. I've been waiting for Mr. Winder to come for several weeks here now. I had the pleasure of meeting you via the telephone by the way of the my good friend, the Waymaker, several weeks ago when I spoke to Mr. Winder. And he's limited on time, so he's only going to be on for about an hour. But, Mr. Winder, you have a storied career, sir. I understand that you're alumni of University of Southern Mississippi. Well, you still hold. You're on the – oh, we're buffering here. How come this thing is buffering?
I'll keep going there. Keep going.
I still hear you, though.
Oh, you can still hear me? Yes, yeah, yes. Alumni of the University of Southern Mississippi. Well, you still hold two titles there. You're in the Hall of Fame there, and you spent your storied career with the Denver Broncos, two-time Pro Bowler, Mr. Sammy Winder from Madison, Mississippi. And I understand that you still reside there. Is that correct, sir?
That is correct. This is home.
Yeah, this is home. Well, see, the thing about it, what I love about your career is that not only did you play the game and played it impeccably, but you also started a business while you were with the Broncos, a construction company. Is that correct?
That is correct. Yeah.
Oh, boy.
I started a construction company. I'm in the dirt work. I do residential site prep, clearing, that sort of thing.
Okay. All right. Well, I'll tell you what we're going to do. I'm going to go around the table because I'm sure these guys, since you're limited on time, they have a lot of questions for you. So I'm going to step aside for a minute. Mill?
Yes. Mr. Wanda, how you doing? How you doing, sir? I have one question I want to ask you. On as the way the game is played today, as the game pertains to how it was played when in your era, tell me what level did you love the most? Was it when you played in it could be either or. It could be the rec league, it could be high school, it could be college, it could be the pros. Which level did you enjoy the game the most?
You know, that's kind of hard for me to say. I think I had just regular play probably more fun, more excitement in college because college put so much emphasis on it with the fans and the students dressing up crazy and all that thing. But, you know, to get to play in Pro Bowl and the Super Bowl, that's the ultimate in the NFL, and that was tremendous right there in itself.
Okay, What were some of your favorite coaches?
I would just say probably all three head coaches, high school, college, and pro. You know, Dan Reeves was a pro. I had P.B. Walker in high school. In college, I had Bobby Collins. Mm. I mean, all three of those guys I think I had a great relationship with that taught me a good bit. You know, to say which one of those three are my favorite, I would probably lean towards college.
Okay. And one more question before I pass it on to the guys. Yeah. I noticed where the games played back in, the equipment you guys played back then to where the equipment these guys are playing with now. How heavy was those shoulder pads?
Oh, you was toting probably 12 or 15 pounds with you as you play, you know. But we still had guys that looked like they were floating on air. I mean, we had some speed burners. But you told it a great bit, and technology has changed. They have improved all that stuff for the better, I would like to think. But back in the day, yeah, the dress out, you dressing out with 12 or 15 pounds depends on how much you put on.
Okay, Kevin?
Yeah. Okay. Now, on the, I'm sure you've been keeping up with the Broncos this season. If you remember, like, they started off, you know, kind of sluggish and whatnot. But now they're fighting for a playoff spot. So tell me, how excited are you now to see your Broncos, who started at one point 1-5, are now above 500 and in the playoff mix?
Well, I mean, very excited. I mean, you know, that's pretty much all I knew in the NFL from a playing standpoint. And to see them have success the way they've been having here recently, they started out slow. Mm-hmm. And then it seemed like they got their act together and start putting some plays together and winning ball games. But, you know, they still kind of straddle the fence right now. I sure hope they can get over to that playoff side. But, yeah, very excited about it. And excited for them.
Yep, and they taking on the Lions tonight. So, like I said, I mean, you know, at one point they were at the bottom, and now they can upset apple carts within the next, you know, few weeks. And the AFC, the division is really, we need to pay more attention to AFC West right now, because Kansas City, they're starting to get exposed a little bit. Denver is coming on. They're only one game behind KC now. And I believe with the Broncos win over KC a few weeks ago has played a part in that surprise effort. So, you know, I'm low-key excited for you guys as well to see what y'all going to do in the next 3 to 4 weeks.
You know, even when I played, you know, the talk was if you could be right around 500 about mid-season, or a little bit after mid-season, and you catch fire, mm-hmm. you have a good chance of making the playoffs. And it seemed like the Broncos are in that position right now to where they could just, you know, go out and handle business and play well, that they can make the playoffs. And I think they will. They've been playing pretty good so far. Their defense has been playing excellent.
Yes.
I'm telling you, they've been hitting people in the mouth. So they keep doing that. I think they'll be fine.
Okay. I want to get Marcus in here. Hey, Marcus.
Sir, hey. Hey, y'all hear me? I'm currently driving right now. I'm a truck driver, but
yeah.
It's an honor to be able to come on to this show and talk to, saying that Denver running back and everything. I'm a Denver fan. I can say I'm a diehard. I cry when we lose and I cry when we win, and I'm gonna be a fan for a long time. Like, I'm never gonna stop being a fan. But I really don't have a question for you. I was about to talk about Devontae Wilms, how you feel since he was in that running back position? How you feel about him right now?
You know, me being a running back, I mean, that was a dream come true for me. That's all I wanted to be, you know. And I think for you to be a good running back, you need to be devoted to what you do and into what you do and believe in what you do. That has a lot to do with your success. And he's a good running back. He's a very good running back. I mean, and I think that he stay healthy. That's another key there too. You stay healthy. Get them big hogs up front to hit somebody, push them out the way. I mean, the success is unlimited.
True.
All
right, Roma.
Good morning, Mr. Wanda. How you doing?
Morning. I'm doing fine. How are you?
All right. My first question is, was it easy to get acclimated coming from college, going into the pros with the way they do things from when they were the preparation standpoint and all that?
No. Coming from college, I went to Denver with the wrong attitude, with the wrong idea. I won't say the wrong attitude, but the wrong idea. I thought, well, go play in the pros, you practice, you run over here and you run over there and then you take it in and watch film. I'm telling you, I bled every day in camp, you know, camp was very physical back then. This was in the '80s. I'm sure it has changed some now, but very physical in the '80s. And, I was a fifth round draft choice. So I wasn't real sure that I was going to make the team because they drafted a running back in the first round that year. So it was not quite what I expected.
Okay. My next question is, what was it like playing in that Super Bowl when y'all lost to Washington and Doug Williams?
You know, that was the Super Bowl I thought we probably matched up the best in. I played in three, and that was the second of the three. I thought we matched up really well against Washington, and we scored first.
Yeah.
And we hadn't seen the ball since. Doug did an excellent job of marching his team down the field, putting the ball in the end zone.
Okay. And, like, what made you want to start a construction business while you had your NFL career going on at the time?
Well, I've always been fascinated with bulldozers and tractors. I grew up on a farm in Pocahontas, Mississippi, and we drove tractors and farming and all that, and that was just in my system, in my blood. So I knew that's what I wanted to do if I ever got the opportunity to step out on that limb. So that just seemed like something that was second nature to me.
I mean, because, you know, I look at it like a lot of people that's probably pros don't really think about, like, you was already planning for your life after football with that right. decision.
Right. I was always was fascinated with tractors and bulldozers, and I never got away from that. Even though I was playing ball, I still had that love for that, and that I knew that's what I wanted to do.
What was it? What was your reaction playing in your first Pro Bowl when you knew you got selected?
That was unbelievable. Cause that's the select few to get the opportunity to go and participate in that. That's, and the, at that time, I think players voted on it. Players and coaches voted on it, and they looked upon my play as being on that level. That was a great honor.
Oh, wow. And one more. What was it like being around John Elway and playing with him?
You know, John Elway was a heck of a quarterback. I mean, and get the opportunity to play with him was great. That guy could throw the ball, and he knew the game. He did a great job at quarterback for us. Now, his first year, his rookie year, I can't say that. But he was throwing the ball all over the places to the wrong people. But after that, and after he became a seasoned quarterback, John Elway was unbelievable.
Oh, I just thought about something.
What's that?
That Denver game in Cleveland with Ernest Banner.
Did he fumble?
Yeah.
That one was in Denver. That one was in Denver.
What was that like when that happened over there?
Oh my goodness, cause they was going to take the lead and it was getting late in the game. I mean, if they had scored, who knows? But, Jeremiah Castile pulled the ball out of his hand as he was headed towards the end zone. I'm talking about he was like on the 1 or 2 yard line when the ball came out. I mean, we all, you know, you're there pulling for your defense and hoping they make the stop, and then they create a turnover. Unbelievable.
Oh, man.
That's one of the greatest, football games in history.
That was back when Cleveland was.
The dog pound.
The dog pound days. And that was Bernie Kosar. Bernie Kosar was a quarterback, right?
Bernie Kosar, yeah. Let me tell y'all a dog pound story. We in Cleveland. We playing. We're backed up against the dog pound. It's so many dog bones was coming on the field that the referee stopped the game and took the ball to the other end zone. And we started coming out from that way. It was unbelievable. Wow.
We had to switch the field. We
were protected as players, but the referees wasn't. It was open season.
Oh my God! Yeah. So y'all played some in some real hostile environments, because you gotta think about, you had the dog pound. If you went to Washington, you had to go against the Hogs, and you also had to go against the Raiders in that black hole.
Right.
So which one was the roughest? I would say
just because we got bombarded with dog bones on that one. But those other two venues, you know, we go to Seattle in the dome, you can't hear because they so loud, especially if the game is close. The crowd is so loud, and that dome keeping the noise in there. Yeah. I mean, it was unbelievable.
Oh, man.
Mr. Wendell. Did Steve Atwater hit as hard as they say he did?
Oh, I think you need to ask Christian Okoye. Yeah, the Nigerian nightmare. I mean, Steve was a guy that could bring it, and he took advantage of every opportunity he got.
And Okoye wasn't no joke anyway. He was chiseled.
Hey, he stuffed
him. About 250, I think.
Yeah.
Somewhere in that neighborhood, yeah.
Good gracious. Yeah. Who would, top five running backs besides yourself, who would you put in that category? Did anybody ask that? Yeah, top five running backs.
Top five running backs of all time or during my era?
During your era.
I'd have to put Marcus Allen number one, during my year, then I wouldn't be in that top five. You kind of caught me off guard with that question because I don't want to leave anybody out. I played at the end of Walter Payton's career when I came in. I think he was still in the league for about 3 or 4 more years, but he still was making it happen.
Right.
Barry Sanders, yes. We played Barry Sanders on Thanksgiving Day, and we ain't tackled him yet. So he would be there. Roger Craig.
Yeah.
I think that's 4, isn't it?
Yeah.
How about Franco Harris?
No, that one.
That was before my era.
Oh, okay.
That was before, but Eric Dickerson.
Okay. Eric Dickerson. Oh. Wow. Man, some of those names we hadn't talked about in a while, or even thought about. That's pretty amazing. So let me ask you this: the most exciting game you've ever played in?
To beat Cleveland the first time we went to the Super Bowl.
Wow.
That was unbelievable because they kicked off, we mishandled the kickoff. The ball is on like the 3-yard line.
Wow.
And they call that the drive where I think I carried the ball the first 2 plays and then we started passing and just to march that ball down the field and put it in the end zone to tie the game up. That was the first Super Bowl that we went to, so that really sticks out in my mind today.
Right. Have we heard from Mark?
No, not yet.
Mark Daniels. All right, my bad.
No problem.
For me, Mr. Weiner, first of all, it's an honor to get to speak with you. My question would be, this one's tough for me because I am from Cleveland. So growing up and, I spent the drive, I still think about that, and to me, it was just a curse of Cleveland. But, you know, the drive, we had the fumble. And, you know, the one running back that I used to always compare you to, and I just want your opinion, was the running back from Cincinnati, James Brooks. And I just wondered, have you ever had people give you those comparisons to him, and what did you think about him?
No, I hadn't. James Brooks was a good running back, but no, I hadn't had anybody ever compare me to Brooks. I don't know if I've had people to really say that to me, that I reminded them of this guy or that guy. So I appreciate that. I haven't had anybody say that to me before.
No, I guess I said that because you guys they had you guys doing similar things. I mean, you could catch the ball coming out the backfield. Of course, you ran the ball, and he was kind of an all-around back. I guess my question would be, after you guys beat Cleveland, like I said, as a kid, I think the drive hurt worse. I mean, the fumble, Cleveland was fighting back in that game from the beginning. But, I believe in that the drive. I remember my dad, we all thought we were going. And, I mean, we thought we was going. We was hollering, screaming, and everything. And when that drive came, I don't think I went outside for 2 weeks. I mean, it was devastating for us there. But what was it like after that game? I believe you guys played the Giants in that Super Bowl. You had to go up against Lawrence Taylor. And what was that experience like?
First of all, getting back to the game, just to win the game, you're like, wow, we're going to the Super Bowl. I mean, that's every player's dream, is to go to the Super Bowl. That's what you go to camp. That's what you're thinking when you go to camp. Mm-hmm. And all summer, really, just that's what you're thinking. And then to get the opportunity to go is – you can't hardly get your breath. It's so overwhelming. Okay, now we're going up against the Giants and Lawrence Taylor and Phil Sims and those guys. And, we went into the game, and believe it or not, they stopped us on the goal line. We would have gone into halftime leading ahead, but they put up a great defense goal line. I think they stopped me twice, and we had a incomplete there on a pass play. And then we come back out, and it was the New York Football Giants, because they just drove down up and down the field at will, seemed like, and just scored points after points. And we left the field with our heads down, but it still was a great opportunity to go to the Super Bowl.
You know, I'm excited. I want to find out, what is it like the night before the Super Bowl? This is your first Super Bowl. I mean, can you sleep? What's going on through your head? I mean, and then when you enter that stadium on that Sunday, what is that feeling like?
You know, it's not much sleeping, Bob. A little bit. Thinking about what you're going to do and where you're at and da, da, da. You got all your family in town, and you want to show them that you can, go out and play well and win the ball game and all that. And then the next day, you don't have to have a wake up call. You already up.
Already up.
Yeah, you up, ready to go. Nobody has to ring your phone, and you're on time. It's probably one of the few times you're on time. You're on time to catch the bus. I gotta have to look for you. I mean, it is a tremendous feeling, especially for a first timer. You know, you got these teams where they have gone to multiple Super Bowls. You got guys on that have been to Super Bowls before. I don't think we had anybody on that team that had been to a Super Bowl. We may have, but I don't think we did. It's just hard to describe. You know, I tell everybody that I got two moments in my pro career that I will never, ever forget. One is the first Super Bowl we went to. Mm-hmm. That was that's a dream come true.
Right.
The other one is when I made the team.
Mm.
Because, you know, as a kid playing in the backyard with my brothers, you know, you trying to emulate somebody that you saw on TV, hoping one day you get that opportunity. And back then it was a coach would come to your door and knock on it and say, "Coach wanna see you bring your playbook." Well, if you heard that, you know that,
oh man,
you finna get released.
Right.
And that knock was coming down the hall. I could hear it. It was getting closer, getting louder. "Coach wants me to bring your playbook. This the last cut." And that knock happened before my door, and that knock happened after my door.
Wow.
And that was just unbelievable that when I realized I had made the team.
Wow, wow. Yeah. That sounds like just a pure adrenaline rush to me, man. That is so cool.
It was. I mean, before it went past my door, I couldn't pick a penny up off the floor. I'm nervous and shaking.
Oh, man.
After it went past, I'm doing the Dion in the room.
You're dancing, huh? Oh, yeah.
I got a question. So you play in the era, do you play against Lawrence Taylor when he played with the Giants?
Right.
Did he ever send any females to your room during those games?
No, he forgot about me.
Oh man.
What was it like being coached by Dan Reeves?
Dan Reeves, I forgot about
Dan,
that.
Dan was, he was fair. But, you know, he was a little firm. Let me say this. I like physicality. I like that when I was playing. I don't want to get bit by a mosquito today, but the more physical it was, the more into the game I was. So
right.
Practices was physical, especially in camp. Dan was all right. I thought he was fair with everybody. He didn't mind walking up in your face, which I think coaches need to do that.
Do you think the coaches today, that they are more – okay, let's talk about the coaches back then versus the coaches today. Do you think that the coaches back then, they were more disciplined and the players knew who was the coach versus the coaches today that look like the players are in charge? I mean – did it seem like the coaches were more in charge back then?
Well, I don't really know. I don't want to say that the coach was more in charge, but I have noticed it seems like the coaches were more direct with the players about their play.
Right.
Like I say, Dan Reeves, he wasn't a guy that I think was over the top direct, but I mean, if you screwed up, he was coming to you.
Right.
He was going to let you know you didn't do it right.
And
I think coaches today wait on the film to express that. And I guess I'm just old school. If I was a coach, I don't know if a player screwed up could walk past me and I don't say something. That's just me.
Right, right.
But, and Dan was that type coach.
Right. Hey, do we have time to get our picks in?
I'm not talking about the grabbing and all that.
Right.
That's not what I'm talking about. I'm talking about you two getting an understanding of what needs to be done and what didn't get done. Mm-hmm. I believe in that.
Right. Absolutely.
All right, one more, and this is a tough. I'm going to ask you your top five quarterbacks during that era that you've seen.
Dan Marino, John Elway, Warren Moon, San Francisco.
Montana.
I got one more to go, right?
Yeah.
I don't know. I'm thinking about that. Fifth one.
What about Boomer Sass?
I don't know. That guy in Seattle threw for a bunch of yards.
What was his? Atwater.
No, Kramer.
Jim Zorn. He threw for a bunch of yards in Seattle. They didn't win very many games, but
no.
They offense was. And you know how it goes. A team that don't win, no matter how great your quarterback is, he get unnoticed.
Just right. Hold on, Jim Kelly.
Yeah. You said Jim Kelly. Yeah. He was Buffalo.
Yeah, but he played against
Jim was right. Buffalo. Right, yeah, right. Jim threw for a bunch of yards, yeah.
Right. If I believe that, so he's up there close to the record of going to the Super Bowl without winning one. Didn't they go four straight?
Yeah.
They went to four straight.
Yeah.
That's exactly right.
And they lost to all NFC East teams.
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah. We need to get into these picks now because Mr. Winders is limited on time here, and we want to make sure that we honor his be respectful of his time.
Can I step in for a second with something?
Please.
This is something that I'm very disgruntled about, and I'm asking with y'all, let me share this on the air. This is on the college level.
Okay.
Would that
take as much time as you need?
Oh yes, sir. I'm all ears. I want to hear this.
I am very disgruntled and just upset with the fact that Florida State is not in the Final Four.
Me too.
They have penalized a team because of the quarterback, just like the other 50 guys didn't play hard all year. And that's supposed to be what college football is about. If you run the table.
Yeah, you should get rewarded.
Absolutely.
Automatically.
For everybody.
Yeah.
So I just want to express that. I don't need to go any further with that, but I'm very disappointed in the way
I'm glad you brought it up because I feel the same exact way.
That's a good
It makes
topic.
No sense.
And it's crazy because Alabama don't deserve it. Georgia still should have got in too. Florida State, Georgia, Michigan.
Exactly.
And Washington.
I agree 100%.
Definitely. How are you telling me Texas get in because they only got one real statement win, and that's against Alabama?
It's ridiculous.
Well, that just comes down to the political system.
Yeah, and like you said, because they're
it's all about money to them because I think they felt like Florida State with their quarterback being out is not going to generate that buzz. They were scared they were going to have a situation like TFU, like TCU last year, but that's neither here nor there. They deserve to be in that Final Four.
And you forget that.
Not just rewarding a team for going undefeated.
Right.
Yeah.
It's not about the quarterback. The team went undefeated.
And you forget that they had a great receiver there, too.
Three games that the quarterback didn't play.
It makes no sense.
Undefeated.
I couldn't agree with you more.
Travesty. That was a travesty. And that just lets you know what the NCAA is realistically, where their mindsets is and what it's about with them, which of course is money.
They say they're suing them. Florida State trying to sue them.
Yeah, but it's not going to change the narrative. They got sued.
Yeah, still, at least two, three teams get snubbed every year. Every year, this always happens. Yeah, and I've been against the NCAA ever since I've been on the show. Am I right, Dad?
You're absolutely. I've been against them. I've been against them longer than that, for various reasons.
Yeah. I just put my two cents in. I feel better now.
Yeah, thank you. We never liked the way NCAA did business. We never did.
No,
we never did.
That's for football and basketball.
Yes.
Hey,
yes.
But you notice. It's an SEC Big Ten Final Four because Texas going to the SEC next year, Washington going to the Big Ten.
Mm.
Michigan in the Big Ten.
Right.
Alabama in the SEC.
Hmm. Interesting.
They've been trying to dismantle the ACC for the longest, but they just haven't been able to do it yet.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Hey, guys, we got to get to the picks because, like I said, let's be respectful of Mr. Wander's time here.
Okay.
All right? Mr. Wander, this is what we do. This is a tradition on this broadcast, is that we have the picks of the week. And we really would like to know who you would pick this week with the teams that's playing. All right. Kevin.
Yes. All right. We got three Saturday games. The first one is the Vikings against the Bengals.
I'm going with the Bengals.
Ooh. Ooh, boy.
I'm going with the Bengals. Burrow's not hurt, is he?
He's out for the rest of the season.
But
Jake Browning is starting to come on a little bit. He's had a really bright, he actually lit up my fantasy league, which I'm very grateful for that. He's another one that's what I call a hidden gem. So
who are they playing at?
Cincinnati.
I'm going with the Bengals.
I'm going with the Bengals too.
The Bengals.
I got the
Bengals. Yeah, Bengals. They're playing the Vikings, right?
Yes.
Right.
All right. So this is the thing, Joshua Dobbs is at his best when a team don't game plan for him. Same thing happened in Cleveland preseason. He balled out, figured him out. He went to Arizona first couple of games. It seems like he balled out. But if you look at his numbers, he was pretty pedestrian. He just managed the game. Then he gets traded to Minnesota. First couple of games, what happens? He looks like a star, but look at the numbers. He just managed the game. He's not a great thrower in football. He's good knowing what to do with inside of his limits. I give Joshua Dobbs that. But he's not going to win football games. He's not going to score you a lot of points. So.
All right. You said that too. See? Who you got?
Cincinnati.
Okay. Yeah. All right. All right. Who else? Mark, who you got?
Well, Joshua Dobbs ain't going to even get the opportunity to actually win this game because Nick Mullins is starting now.
Oh.
So with that being said, I'm going to go with Cincinnati.
All right. Joe. Cincinnati. Marcus.
I'm going with the Bengals.
All right. Kevin.
Yeah, I had the Bengals too. Romar.
Yeah, I'm going with the Bengals.
All right.
Mail in.
Oh, so we mailed that one in. All right. Next.
The next one is the Steelers at the Colts.
Man, look, the Steelers better win this game. They better win this game this week.
I'm going with Gardner.
No. Okay. Now, the Steelers record right now is what?
7-6.
Okay. I'm hanging with my boy Tomlin. Hey, Mr. Wander, who you got?
I got the Steelers on this.
All right.
I got the Steelers on this. I think they in that position where they need to win. They're going to pull it out.
Right. Mark?
I'm actually going to go with Indianapolis. I think, I'm going to be honest, I think a lot of things is going to trickle down here in Pittsburgh. We might be looking at Mike Tomlin's last year. They don't have.
Well, I hope not. I think the problem is that the Steelers, their offense is a lot shaky this year, right? Look how many close games they won. Look how many games they came back to win. I mean, you've got to get your heads off because they really don't have the tools that they needed.
All right,
but they still.
Like you said, look how many games they came back to win. Look how many games that on paper, they shouldn't have had no problem winning. They lost two home games back to back to two terrible teams
on any given Sunday.
Okay.
Any given Sunday, but you give up, you lose like you did to Arizona. You don't turn around and let.
That's why they're going to win this week.
New England expose you like
that. Oh, Lord. Now, see, you're going to bring it. That's a sore. That's painful. I hate New England. You know that.
That's crazy because New England sat there on Monday night, beat you in the first half.
Yeah. Well, still, I'm going with Steelers. Who you got?
You got
me? I'm going with the Colts.
Okay.
I'm going to take Minshew over Trubisky.
Okay. Well, all right. Joe.
Trubisky is not it.
Okay. All right, Marcus.
I'm going to have to go with the Colts just because being a Denver fan, we kind of won't. It really don't matter, but I need the Steelers to lose.
All right, hey, Mark. Mark, who you got?
Yeah, I'm going, like I said, I'm going with
the Colts. Oh, that's right. You're going with the Colts.
All right, this is what.
Yeah.
Kevin?
Yeah, I got the Colts also.
All right, I'm still sticking with the Steelers.
See, my sister.
Hey, Sammy, you got the Steelers. Yeah.
I got the Steelers also.
All right, me and Sammy. Yeah, that's right. We're going to win this. All right.
We're riding together.
That's it. All right, let's go.
Mike Tomlin will be the coach of the Commanders next season.
No. Mike Tomlin ain't going nowhere.
I don't see that happening.
I don't know.
I'm sorry.
Well, see, one thing about the Steelers, you have to get it. They are loyal to their coaches.
Yeah, they are.
They only had three
coaches.
That's my point.
Chuck Noll, Bill Cowell.
I think it would be a mistake to get rid of Tomlin.
I mean, they got all three of them that won Super Bowls.
That's my point. And Tomlin's never had a losing season.
Never.
To this point.
That's right.
So it would not surprise me if Sammy and WB are right in this game, because somehow, and just when we start to pile things on, the media piles things on week after week after week, and somehow that team rights the ship. So it would not surprise me if that does come to fruition.
Boy,
I believe that. I believe that.
Well, you call that junk.
He got one big problem though, and this is the first time I've ever said this in a Mike Tomlin era.
Go ahead.
It seems like right now he has lost that locker room. And when you lose that locker room, it's tough to get it back.
That is a good point. Year,
he's gotten a lot of disgruntled players. I understand there's been injuries. But the bottom line is, you're supposed to be able to overcome that and figure out a way, and they haven't been able to do it.
Well, see, this is the thing about it, Mark. They haven't had the players. Their defense is the only thing that's been keeping them afloat. Yeah. So that's my point.
I'm going to tell you.
But sometimes you got to work with what you got. And when you start getting guys complaining in the locker room, Mr. Winders can probably tell us better than anybody. They start complaining in that locker room. They start saying, you know, you can see that same fight ain't there. You can, it creates a problem.
And another problem is.
It does create a problem because you're dealing with grown men, you know.
And another problem.
So you got to be able to reach them somehow, some way.
They need to let Najee sit down and start the boy that come in for Najee. Cause he give you better chances running the ball and catching the ball out the backfield.
I don't disagree with that.
Go ahead and do the Zeke thing with him.
All right, let's do it.
It doesn't matter. You got Trubisky at quarterback. You think I'm going to sit up here and predict Mitchell Trubisky to win a football game?
After the atrocity we saw on Thursday Night Football last week, it was terrible.
And the crazy thing, they got Rudolph just sitting there.
And Rudolph's no better. I'm sorry. I don't see it.
Like I said, they don't have the players, man.
I would start Rudolph over Trubisky.
It wouldn't make any difference to me.
All right, let's go. Let's move on.
Last Saturday game. Okay, Sammy, your Broncos are taking on the Lions.
Woo!
My Broncos are taking on the Lions. You know I can't go against my Broncos.
We already know where you're staying on that one.
Russell Wilson has got his groove back.
Man.
We're playing really good defense now. So I think my Broncos going to pull it out some way, somehow. We got to.
Man, I am torn about this one, too. Sam, I got one quick question about Denver. And everybody complains about the altitude. How real is that as far as a player is concerned?
A close ball game, I think it makes a difference. If you're playing in Denver, it's a close ball game going into the fourth quarter. It makes a difference. But, I know for me, being in Mississippi, and I would go back out there for camp probably the first 3 or 4 days,
uh-huh,
I'm totally out of breath.
Uh-huh.
Totally out of breath.
Right.
Acclimated to it, and then you'd be okay.
Right. And my thing is, I was wondering if that affected Russell Wilson in a way. You guys think that might be a factor at all in the very beginning?
Yeah, it could be.
I don't know Russell personally, and I don't know his workout habits and what he do, but you got to stay on point from a workout standpoint to stay acclimated with that type of altitude out there. I do know that.
Absolutely. All right. What we got?
WB, who you got?
Who's that?
Broncos at Detroit.
Ah, boy, oh boy. Detroit's been letting me down. Russell Wilson been coming on.
Broncos on
the heater? I'm going with the Broncos.
And they won 6 out of 8,
I believe. This is what I'm talking about. I'm going with the Broncos.
Romar, who you got?
I'm going with the Lions. I mean, I think they didn't play a couple of bad games that they should have won.
That's right.
So, and they know with this game, if they make a statement, they sell a playoff spot.
They lose. So
they lose, they still fight for a playoff spot, but they win, they ain't got to worry about nothing else because now they know that they in the playoffs. Hmm.
Okay.
But I also, you know, it's going to be a tight game because Russell, like somebody said yesterday, you don't want to call him a game manager but he's been doing that and they've been winning with him just managing the games. Like, he's been found success hitting his receivers in that 5 to 6 yard area and letting them work.
I think Russell
got to do.
Right. I think he's found his groove, man, because everybody was ready to write him off beginning of the season. But
like what Mr. Winder said, the defense Russell look real good right now. Whatever Russell doing on the offense works, but the defense is making him look better because
after Thanksgiving, I went to the game and, I'm telling you, you know, people have kind of gotten away from this, but defense win ball game.
Mm-hmm.
And our defense is playing really well.
Right.
And they continue to play well with some no name guys.
They play well. And it's the front four. That front four has been getting to the quarterback.
Okay, Mr. Winder, I think you sold me. Originally, I had the Lions winning.
I see a crossover?
Yeah. I think I'm going to do a little crossover.
Oh, Lord.
I think I'm going with the Broncos, man.
I'm not changing my pick, but I know it's crazy because it's a Thanksgiving game on the Saturday.
Uh-oh. Yeah. But see, every time when you make your picks earlier than me, there's always a crossover somewhere.
Yeah.
Every time.
Okay, Joe, who you got? Oh, did anybody,
the Lions,
anybody
the Lions
got
this? Not gonna win. The Lions not gonna win. They gonna wait till towards the end of the season to try to solidify their spot in the playoffs. It ain't gonna happen this early.
Well, I'm glad they did.
I think they're gonna drop the ball on it. I think the pressure's gonna mount too much for them.
Mark, who you got?
I'm going to take Denver, but real quick question for Mr. Winder. Being a running back, we talk about Russell Wilson. You down on the goal line in the Super Bowl game, and he decides not to give you that ball after you didn't get. Basically, you got him to that goal line and throw that interception. If you're that running back in that situation, how do you look at him?
I'm going to tell you, I'm very upset. You know, but I know that probably wasn't just all Russell's call.
Mm-hmm.
I don't believe it was. But I'm very upset that the whole sideline didn't say, give Sammy the ball.
Man, you know, yes, right.
But that probably wasn't just Russell's call. I think it's unfair to put it on Russell.
Yep.
When I saw that play, I looked at it as that was something that was talked about in practice in the film room. When they give you this look, this is what we want. They gave him that look, and that guy stepped in front of the ball.
Man.
That's the way I saw it.
Yeah.
But I still say, I will give Sammy Winder the ball and let him go. Don't to throw your hands up in the air.
Let that man cook.
Absolutely, Sammy. I'm still upset about it. Man.
How many years ago was that, WB?
Eight. How many years ago was that?
It was long enough.
I want to say 10, but it still doesn't matter.
Still upset about it.
Hey, all right. Mr. Winder, how did you feel about that Super Bowl when the same quarterback that you got now obliterated your Broncos in the Super Bowl.
The same quarterback.
Russell Wilson beat Denver like 50-8 in the Super Bowl. Remember that? When they won the Super Bowl.
I really don't have any memory of that. Concussion
protocol working. That's the first year y'all had Peyton.
Good job, Omar.
No, I'm just saying because Peyton was a quarterback, got him there, but you didn't see that coming.
Yeah. I tried to forget that game too.
I mean, nobody seen that type of game coming. Peyton got there, offense booming. Get to the Super Bowl.
And just unraveled immediately.
Yeah.
Oh, all right, let's move, man.
Okay, we got the Sunday games coming up. First one on deck. The Jets at the Dolphins.
Oh man, look, let's mail this in. Give me the Dolphins. Oh, somebody's got the Jets. Who got the Jets?
I don't.
Sammy, who you got?
I got Dolphins.
All right. Mark.
I'm going to be the odd man out on this. I don't know if Tyreek Hill's playing.
He's not.
I'm going to go with New York in this game.
Uh-oh.
I got the Jets, too, but for a different reason.
Okay. Joe? Yeah, speak a little louder.
He said he got the Dolphins.
Okay. Marcus?
I got the Dolphins.
All right. Kevin?
Dolphins.
All right.
I got the Jets.
Okay. And, you and Mark got the Jets. Okay. Move right along. We run out of time here.
Okay. Texans at the Titans.
Oh, man. Do we have to?
Yes. And now here's the thing. Now keep in mind, the Titans are actually wearing the Houston Oilers uniforms tomorrow.
What?
Yes. Word on the street. Yes. The Titans are playing.
Oh, this that game.
Oh, they're in.
Think about this.
Yeah, I thought about it.
Sammy, what is your quick take on that? Do you think it's fair or foul that the Titans are wearing the Houston Oilers unis tomorrow against the Texans?
Well, that's going to make some old Houston Oilers proud to see that emblem back out on the field. So, because, you know, the Broncos have changed their emblem. If they was to go back to that old